The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Now, the Green Party leader Eamon Ryan was speaking earlier today, suggested plans for 2023. The budget details could be unveiled in September rather than October. Of course, the government line had been that we would all have to wait until October as usual. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar was, I suppose, defending the government position against accusations that they are failing to intervene in the cost of living crisis. Take a little listen.
We have acted, Deputy. We acted in January with an increase in the minimum wage, reductions in income tax, increases in the pension and welfare. We've acted since then, effectively a mini-budget, our emergency budget, cuts in excise on petrol and diesel, €200 off people's electricity bills.
Yeah, that was the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. With me in studio now is party colleague Neil Richmond, Fine Gael TD, of course, for Dublin Rathdown, a member of the Oireachtas Finance Committee, and Donnchadh O'Leary, who's a Sinn Féin TD and their party's education spokesperson. You're both very welcome to studio. September or October, Neil?
Well, I think the most important thing is we get the summer economic statement next week. That's going to come to Cabinet and be published for everyone. And that'll actually show us what can actually be done. So we can get head up about whether it be September or October. But let's actually see what we can do. We appreciate greatly people are struggling massively. A lot has been done, as the Taoiseach laid out. But we need to do a lot more. We need to do a lot more for childcare, for the cost of living, for building houses and putting money back into people's pockets. So let's see what resources we have to do that.
So not ruling out September. Possibly.
Oh, no, not ruling out. I don't think the government isn't completely wedded to a specific date. We have to be aware that people are struggling massively. As I said, a lot has been done. But most importantly, we're clamouring over the day of the budget when we don't know exactly what we're working with. We will know next week. And I think it's prudent to look at that and build it on that. The budgetary preparation work has already started. We had our meeting in Fine Gael on Tuesday evening. Fianna Fáil are meeting tomorrow. Our colleagues in the Green Party have met already. We're already starting to see ministers meet with their officials. The work has started.
Donnchadh O'Leary, so September, if it were to be moved forward to September, I'm never sure you say back or forward, but say forward to September, would that satisfy you and your party? You've been calling for early intervention.
We've been calling for a mini budget, and obviously that would, you know, you would still have your budget that outlines the grand scope of what you're going to do and the shape of every department. You need to do that in any year anyway. That's a different thing, and whether that happens a few weeks early is kind of missing the point. The fact is that we need additional relief right now, and you look particularly, we are looking at the situation of parents of children who are going back to school, and they're getting the letters now with the book lists, hundreds of euros, voluntary contributions, hundreds of euros. You could be spending well over €1,000. There's nothing going to happen for those parents. Those expenses will have come and gone. They will have paid them out. They might have had to go to the credit union to borrow to pay for them. So Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are doing nothing in relation to the relief that's needed now for those families, particularly in the whole area of back to school. And the other point I'd make, just in relation to the cost of living crisis, is sometimes the debate in Leinster House centres on as if this is a new concept, but we've been talking about the cost of living crisis for well over a year, and the cost of living crisis manifests itself in childcare costs that are beyond what most European countries face, rent costs that are spiralling out of any kind of control, and the fact that our public services aren't properly funded. So schools end up coming back to parents with letters asking for hundreds of euros. So the cost of living crisis isn't new. Fuel prices, yes, obviously have increased on account of the conflict in Ukraine, and we recognise that there are external factors, but a lot of these factors began a long time before that.
Neil, you're doing nothing for families now.
I think that's completely misleading, because we also recognise that there's been a rising cost of living crisis. That's why we put together a €2 billion worth of package this year. That's why the budget last year was already flagged that we needed a major package in terms of social welfare payments, be it pensions otherwise, but equally on tax relief to working families. That was put in. We have reacted this year. Bear in mind, and it hasn't been mentioned, there was considerable amount of COVID supports put in parallel to all this. And what we want to ensure in the budget is that when it is announced, that it's not just a plan for 2023, but we can actually front load immediate decisions. Often with the budget, bar the changes on excise duty for the old reliables, as they call it, that happen at midnight, the rest doesn't come into maybe the first quarter of the next year. We want to make sure that those come in immediately. We want to have that, and we need to do that based on a summer economic statement next week that gives us clarity and allows us through the entire government, but particularly in Fine Gael, to ensure that we put money back into people's pockets and really address those costs. And the external circumstances go far far beyond fuel costs. It goes down to food costs, it goes down to logistics crisis, it goes down to supplies. So we can't just dismiss and say it's only gas and oil.
Dudica, if we accept money is a finite resource at all times, particularly so given the cost of borrowing internationally has gone up, you do have to accept, don't you, the consequence of intervening now is that there will be less money come the budget September or October.
Well, like, I mean, I suppose we would always outline our budget alternative and it would include revenue raising measures as well. But look, I mean, the Fiscal Advisory Council,
you'd be proposing them anyway.
Well, look, I mean, we would be very clear in terms of everything being costed and accounted for. But the ASRI, the Fiscal Advisory Council, Central Bank have all said that there is scope for government to intervene. And in some of these areas...
But the point being, if you intervene now, you can't intervene again, or you can only intervene to a lesser degree come October.
To a lesser degree is obviously the case, but I mean, not at all. No, absolutely not. And there's plenty of things that you could continue to do with the budget. And what you need to do with your budget, your big annual plan for the whole year, is set out the shape in which areas such as childcare will be going for the next couple of years. But what we've been arguing for is relief now, because as I say, there are bills that are going to be arriving over the next short while. And I think Back to School is the perfect example of it. And the government, the Department of Education of all departments, have done absolutely nothing in terms of assisting people with the cost of living crisis. And there are other areas, like Fine Gael are now 10 years in government and rent has only gone one direction and there's been no action. You know, what we've been proposing in terms of a rent relief, a tax relief of a month's rent back to renters, nothing like that has been attempted. And I do think to some extent, like, that this thing of September, October, like, I mean, I think it's a bit throwing sand in people's eyes. The government have decided, and I think they've become quite stubborn on this, that they're not doing a mini budget. And I think it's become a point of principle to them. They feel that there is, you know, that they can't concede to the opposition in relation to this. And this is some sort of gesture in that direction. But ultimately, our proposal for a mini budget was about relief here and now. It's not to substitute what will obviously be needed at the end of year and rounding off your accounts and everything.
Is this about scoring political points?
No, far from it. This is actually providing relief to people in the long term. This cost of living crisis, the war in Ukraine, won't end in September, October. This is here for a long term. And the government has done some things. No European country has introduced an emergency budget. But I'm interested when Dunica rightly says that Sinn Féin prepare their alternative cost of budget every year. And we'll have that argument in due course. But last night, Sinn Féin demanded an early budget, but we didn't have an alternative costed budget. We had a whole range of suggestions that have come through consistently over the year and indeed over the last few weeks. But what we want to do is let's see what is actually in the bank next week in the summer economic statement. Let's see what we can do for people across the country in every area, be it health, education, and bear in mind the context of what we're in now and where we're coming from, and actually do it in a sustainable manner that can really address the issues at hand.
What good is that to anyone now, right? So see, those families now who are facing those bills, those hundreds of euros, euros in terms of going back to school, what is going to happen to us?
You have dismissed out of hand every measure that's been taken. Your party...
No, that's not true.
Yes, you have. You said nothing's happened when quite clearly a €2 billion package has been put in place by the government through the last year. You voted against the very release in the last budget that would have put €800 extra money into people's pockets there and then. And we want to make sure, Dunica, that there's no point giving people relief right now only to be taking it back from them in September, October.
I respond to that, right?
I haven't finished my point, in fairness. You cut across me in the first place. We want to ensure that this is sustainable. We want to take the summer economic statement next week, give us the boundary to work through that what we can do right away for people, be it September, be it October, and then sustainably for the next full calendar year, aware, as I said, that no other EU country has introduced an emergency budget.
Right. First, right, what you said in terms of not doing anything, but I specifically said in the arena of assisting parents with back to school costs, and you have done nothing, in your Department of Education has done nothing, and you have no proposals, and I would like to hear what are you going to do to help those parents. But just in relation to what you talked about in the last budget, we make no apologies for voting against measures that are primarily going to benefit higher earners, and that is what your proposals at the time did. And our budget alternatives was about focusing on ensuring that middle and lower income earners who are struggling the most were those to benefit, and that's what our proposal is about. But I want to hear from you. What are you going to do to assist parents who are now facing bills of hundreds of euro, well over €1,000, some as much as €2,000? That's not going to be any good when the budget comes. What are you doing about it right here and now? What's the department doing to help
them? Well, it will be good when the budget comes, because ultimately
they'd have spent that money, Neil.
Again, Dunica, can I make the point? I haven't finished the point, because you're asking, say, let's have immediate relief now. But then when December, January, when things might get worse then, if the money's gone, how are we going to support those parents now? The Department of Education, Minister Foley, Minister Madigan and others are well aware of the needs and they will invest it. But crucially, we want to make sure that everyone gets relief. The cost of living crisis is hurting everyone. We want to make sure...
Is that wise? Alan Barrett of the ESRI was in here last week. He said two things need to happen. One, central banks need to act early, unlike the 1970s. And he has faith that the central banks will have learned the lesson and they will do so, and there's evidence they're already doing it. The other thing that needs to happen is you don't provide relief to everyone at political level. You provide relief to those people who most need it. And he had little faith that the government would actually do that. Yeah. Sounds like he's right.
No, I think that's a bit unfair. Firstly, I'm on the Finance Committee. We've had the central bank in and we've made this point to them rigorously. And in fairness, that's been cross-party. But in terms of relief, there is a huge cohort of people in the country that do not benefit from any supports. But they are equally... Doesn't make a difference for them at the petrol pump. It's as tough. Their childcare costs are going up. They are having the same cost of issues that everyone needs. They need support too. There will, of course, be target supports. That's why the fuel allowance has gone higher. That's why we've increased welfare payments, and we want to ensure those who are on pensions, disability, carers also get far greater supports.
We're just out of time. I started with Neil, so Donegal, I'll finish with you. Like, specifically, what do you want for those parents who are paying those back to school fees?
What we're proposing at the minute is something that is targeted but also ensures that the great bulk of parents who are struggling get something. We're proposing to increase by 50% those who get child or back to school or allowance, but also to extend it to 500,000 additional with an income, targeting those with an income below 80,000, so that everyone gets some assistance, but those who need it most get most assistance.
Fine Gael TD, Neil Richmond, Sinn Féin TD, Donegal Éire. Gentlemen, thanks both of you for joining me here in studio. Now, survey today, we only discuss the real meaty issues like early budgets and shoe shining. Three quarters of men asked in a recent survey don't know how to shine their footwear, apparently. Well, our reporter Josh Crosby, a man who likes a shiny pair of brogues, he's been out and about finding out about the importance of maintaining a good pair of shoes.
Yeah, I do actually polish my Docs quite regularly, every 2 months I'd say, but my other shoes, my runners and stuff like that, I wouldn't really take care of them as much as I would with my Docs, just because I wear them so much.
And what about polishing shoes then? Would you keep them looking fresh?
No.
Don't bother with it?
Don't bother with it, just change them.
So if it gets a bit scruffy or a bit torn?
Bin
them.
That's it, yeah, exactly.
Shiny leather brogues can be the making of an outfit, but fewer and fewer people are polishing their footwear. A recent survey has found that 3 in 5 men never buff their shoes. Who better to ask about all things polishing than a master cobbler?
So this is a very old machine, but they made them good in those days. British
made. Stand the test of time. And that's it done.
That's it now, yeah.
A happy customer.
That noise puts me to sleep every night. Hi Josh, my name is Brian Clegg. I'm Rathfarnham Shopping Centre, Clegg Shoe Repairs, here 32 years now. In terms of shoe repairs, I suppose you have to put in context of pre-pandemic and post-pandemic the idea of people using their shoes for occasions and weddings and business opportunities. That kind of went by the wayside. So we had a lot of casual shoes coming in, people with trainers, getting them repaired. Post-pandemic, it's picked up again, not to what it was before, but we're certainly, you know, getting there.
How important is a good set of shoes, Brian?
Well, Josh, they're very important. I mean, particularly if you take your standard gent's shoe. I mean, in years gone by, the components were made of leather. Proper leather pair of shoes is going to keep your foot in a good position for ambulating. And, you know, it'll stand to you in the long term. So that's where we are with good shoes.
And in a world of fast fashion, Brian, and people disposing of items in a blink of an eye, how popular is shoe polish and people maintaining their shoes?
It's very popular. I'm finding that a lot of people are coming in and saying they're finding it hard to get such and such a lace or such and such a type of polish. So I have a good range here. As regards fast fashion, there is a change now where people are, you know, they're looking towards getting things repaired. And I'm finding that even more so in the younger people, which is great to see that.
And I see you have a range of polish, shines, oils. Talk to me about what are the products here.
Oh yeah, if you look over here, Josh, we have a range of creams.
Right, all different colours as well. You're saying younger people are becoming interested in repairing and maintaining. Are there many men out there that don't know how to polish a shoe?
Well, definitely we're getting that coming in. Or you might get mothers coming in and saying that, not to be disparaging, but that their sons don't know what the word polish means.
Yes.
And, you know, they're doing it for them, and they might be bringing their shoes to have them polished, which is another service I do here. So, Yeah, that is true. That is true.
The mothers are trying to pass on the knowledge and the wisdom.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That they said that their children have no ideas about a lot of things, you know, and polishing shoes is one of them.
Brian Clegg from Clegg's Shoe Repairs. One of the main factors that fewer men are polishing their shoes is the popularity of more informal footwear. Runners, trainers, sneakers, even sliders are all being worn more and more. To get an idea of customers' shopping habits, I met with Linda Dillon from Graham's Shoes in Dublin City Centre.
I mean, you're using your feet every day and it's important that you have something that fits properly and that doesn't cause your feet or your legs any problem. So I think it's very important.
With so many options out there now and good value, are people becoming a bit lax when it comes to maintaining a pair of shoes?
Well, I think maintaining the shoes, I suppose it really traditionally would have always been just put a little bit of polish on your shoes and keep them for a bit longer. But I think what's beginning to happen now a little bit is because shoes are expensive. They're an expensive item. People are beginning to take a little bit more care and look at the products that they can use to keep them. But basic polish, I suppose, is really the thing that will keep a leather shoe a little bit longer.
Yeah, and you've many leather items here. Do you find, do customers polish regularly?
Well, I suppose what I would see is the customers coming in when they're looking to buy a new pair of shoes. So usually by the time I see them coming in the door, they probably definitely need a little bit of polish. So I suppose on the whole, I'd say maybe they're not.
A good pair of shoes can make or break an outfit, can't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'd talk to anybody, any of our customers anyway, when they come in. They're quite discerning, you know, they generally know what they want. And then sometimes, obviously, I'm able to tell them what they need.
And a bit of advice then, put a bit of polish on it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So a dab of polish can go a long way to keeping a pair of shoes looking sharp. With 3/4 of men asked in the survey not knowing how to shine their footwear, I asked these people if polishing was on their to-do list.
I would polish the children's school shoes every week just to kind of maintain them, but that's a... Sometimes I polish my boots in the winter time, but not really. No, it wouldn't be.
You have them looking their best on their way
into
school.
Yes, I do. Just whenever they look scruffy, especially our son, he would be playing about in the playground and that.
Do you get roped into polishing his as well?
Sometimes.
No. The morning of a wedding or something.
Yeah. No, sometimes.
You tie my tie and polish my shoes?
I agree with polishing shoes because it protects the shoe. I have several pairs of shoes, if I may say so. And I break them in each time. I don't wear the same pair of shoes. So I keep changing the shoes because you have to get broken into your feet. And when you get them broken into your feet, I like to keep them because it takes a long time to get a good pair. If you don't, your feet is the main part of your body.
Your favourite pair of shoes now, how long have you held on to them?
Oh, I have shoes for years, son. Years, I mean, because I don't just have one pair of shoes. I have 5 or 6 pairs of shoes in different colours.
That's because you maintain them through the years,
I suppose. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And I get them repaired.
Any tips now for someone who is new to shoe polishing?
No, just polish them. Make sure you get the crevices between where you cannot see. Actually, that's where you want to put the polish.
Yeah.
In there. That's
where
into the little nooks and crannies. Yeah, that's why. And that will protect them. If it's leather, it'll crack. You know, if you have a saddle of a horse and you don't polish it, it cracks.
So I see you're wearing a fine pair of leather heels. Do you polish your shoes often?
I do, yes. Yeah. Like a shoe polisher, or I take it to shoe place and they spray it.
You bring it to a shoe repair? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, shoe repair and they spray.
How important is it to have a good looking pair of shoes?
Oh, very important.
You're a fan of leather shoes yourself?
Yep. Yeah. I am, yeah.
And would you polish them?
Depending on what type they were. Yeah, if they were ones that needed polishing, yes, I do.
Yeah, or if you were going somewhere, I suppose, or...
Just general maintenance.
Would you wear leather shoes now on a daily basis?
I would, yeah.
What is it about the leather shoe that you like?
Just looks smart.
So I see you're wearing a fine pair of leather boots.
Chelsea boots.
Chelsea boots. You're a fashionable man, and a leather jacket as well.
A little bit retro, but yeah, sure, yeah.
And do you ever polish your shoes?
I do, yeah. Yeah, when I think of it. But yeah, I like to have my shoes looking clean and polished. Actually, I only polished these shoes, these very shoes, just this weekend gone.
How often would you do it?
Not very often. I polished 4 sets of shoes in one go and probably hadn't done it for a year.
Got them all done out of the way?
Yeah.
Any tips? What's the knack to it?
Just give it a go, and once they look well, they look well.
Bit of elbow grease.
Clean them first. That's the knack, actually. That's the trick. Clean any muck from or splashes from the rain off the shoes so that you're not polishing the dirt into the shoes. And then, put it on, let it dry a little bit, scuff it off.
And then stretch yourself.
That's it, yeah.
Are you a shoe polisher yourself?
I am not, no.
No? You don't bother with it?
No.
Our son is. One of our sons is.
Yeah. And do you get roped into doing his?
No.
We tend to buy suede shoes. Right. Require no polishing.
Yeah. It's an easier way of life.
That's a hack.
Yeah. But I suppose if you were going to a wedding or an event now where you had to put on a pair, you'd Dust them up, I suppose.
Dust them up is right.
Bit of pledge. There you go.
All right, Josh Crosby with that report on the importance of a good shoe shine. I'm not sure the last time I shined a pair of shoes. Then I don't really wear shoes to work. I wear runners. I mean, isn't that an awful drop in standards in news talk in recent times? Anyway, 53106, the text number. My two kids finished school today. I already have a bill for £140 for next year, €70 each for arts and crafts material. We had Donnacha O'Leary of Sinn Féin in here a few minutes ago calling for a government intervention pre-budget to help people with the return to school costs. If you are already paying for them, we've already had to order our books for next year. The kids only finished a couple of days ago. 53106, the text number. Stay with us. After the break, we're going to be talking about the widening gap between private and public when it comes to mental health.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.